God is good. And all the time.
God is good.
We can't go without that here at Asbury. Because we know God is good. I want to also, before I start into the text, to thank my wife for being with me here. She's in the back there. For those who do not know, she's, you know, the reason why I look the way I look is because she's taking care of me. I also want to say this morning, you know, it's been 26 years of my being at Asbury. And in those 26 years, I preached here only once. So now, I don't think this is going to be my last, because I don't see myself preaching here anymore 26 years from now. Yes, and the other thing that I just wanted to say is before I get into the text, there's something so interesting about this text. There are several sermons that you can get from this text that we just read. But there's something that we usually don't notice about this text. And it has to do with the fact that a woman spends 1 hour with Jesus and becomes the first evangelist, where it took 3 years for 12 men to go out and be disciples of Jesus Christ. You know, God, the kingdom of God, everything sometimes is upside down. What you think is not necessarily what happens. Isn't that God? The title of my sermon this morning is Never Walk Alone or Cause Others to Walk Alone. Let me repeat. Never walk alone or cause others to walk alone. When we started in Genesis, the story of Genesis, men and women were all created in the image of God for the purposes of relationships. Both men and women, not less, everybody was created in the image of God. Let's go to the text here that we just read. Let me do a little bit of a background here. I'm not going to do all the exegesis, but I'm just going to go, who are these Samaritans? Jesus is going through Samaria, and this is one of the, in John, this is one of the first ministry occasions that we find. Samaritans were people who had come out of intermarriages. And so, during that particular time, or probably even today, they were considered half-breeds. They were not full Jews. And that's what Jesus chooses to do. That's where I'm going to go first, to the half-breeds. And as we read, you heard the woman say, how come you, a Jew, Jesus Christ, you are asking me, a Samaritan woman, of water to drink? That should not happen. Don't you know that there is a racial divide, ethnic divide that is here? We can't do that. I cannot give you water because you are a Jew and I am a Samaritan. Now, further on, Jesus talks about Mount of Gerizim. Let me give you a passage. We don't have time for all that today. But if you go look at Deuteronomy chapter 26, following verses, you will hear the whole story where Jesus was talking about this mountain and worshiping and just Mount Gerizim. Jesus says that to the woman. Woman, there will come a time, whether worshiping on Mount Gerizim or worshiping in Jerusalem will not matter. Yeah. What is going to matter is those who worship in truth and in spirit. Doesn't matter whether you're a Baptist, a Methodist, wherever you are, whether you're worshiping in Estes or wherever you're worshiping, he's saying that your identity is going to be shaped by the fact that you worship God in truth and in spirit. Amen. Jesus says, forget to the woman, and she gets it. Forget about this thing that says Samaritans and Jews, because God is looking for those who worship him in truth and spirit. Let me go to this woman here, this Samaritan woman. Who is this woman? What do we read? Part of what we read, I think actually there's more conversation that took place between this woman in addition to what conversation we have between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. I see this woman, I'm adding in here, reading into the text. This is a woman who was an outcast. And I'll say why I think that. This is a woman who was disrespected. This is a woman who has been disowned. This is a woman, to use modern day language, who has been dissed by community. In Africa, we have a common saying that says that if you want to walk fast, walk alone. But if you want to go further, walk in the company of others. The woman had learned to walk alone. She had learned to walk alone. And one of the reasons that I think she had learned to walk alone is because of community, of those around her. This woman walks alone. She's isolated from the social relationships that she's got. She doesn't feel like she belongs anywhere. Even the five husbands she has had, she walks alone, isolated. We have another saying in Zimbabwe that says that if you kick a frog and say, this dirty thing, what you do not realize is when you're kicking that frog, you think you are saying, get away, dirty thing. The frog says, thank you, because I'm going to jump further than I thought I was going to jump. It's a blessing in disguise that you kicked me. Do you see what is happening here with Jesus? The community, what it did was to kick this woman. Thank God they kicked her to the feet of Jesus. They thought they were getting rid of this woman. They thought they were getting the husbands. They thought they were getting rid of this woman. And the woman learned to walk alone in the middle of the day with the sun so hot, where nobody else fed. I live in Florida, so I know how hot it can get. It can get very hot. But what I'm saying is, this woman finds herself at the feet of Jesus. Almost as to say, what others willed, you know, for your ill or for evil, I'm going to use it for your blessing. That's what Jesus is doing. Your salvation is coming. You know, this morning, I know that a lot of us here are very imaginative. We are theology students, and those online, I'm sure you're very imaginative. I want you to take a moment right now to imagine yourself, you sitting there, that right now where you are, this is the well where you are sitting, and you are alone. But you are not alone, you are with Jesus. In this moment right now, what is it that you would say to your Jesus about your life? What do you tell him about your situation? What would you tell him about the issues that are troubling you every day today? This is those who are watching online, who are in their homes. Your well is right there, but you're not alone. You are with Jesus. I am saying right now, what is it that you would like to share with your Lord Jesus today as you sit there? Is it something relational that is going on in your life? Is it something that is mental? Is that something that is physical that's troubling you? Is this all this emotional baggage that you are carrying that you don't know what to do with? You are walking alone and it feels like you're the only one suffering from this thing. Jesus is there. You may be at the well and you probably got there first. And Jesus says, no, 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 I was already here. Don't panic because I'm here to be with you. So I'm going to share with you this morning three C's that make people walk alone. But even those three things, don't forget that Jesus is walking with you. Community can make us walk alone. The second thing, cycles of internalized pain can make us walk alone. The third thing is choices that we make in life can make us walk alone. And I'm going to end with good news. Maybe bad news, but always there's good news. There's always good news, and we have to share the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me start with community. You know, this woman here felt like community had disowned her. All she saw in her life was the pain that was in her. For some of us, community may not be community out there. It might be community that we live with 24/7, 365, which is your family. You feel like you've been ostracized by your family. You feel like you do not mean anything. If you look at this woman here, she had tried to do the right thing. Probably you have too. You've tried to do everything to make things right. But community keeps pushing you to say, nope, you're not good enough. You don't fit here. You're not good enough. She tried even five marriages. I was thinking, you know, if it was this day and age that this woman was existing, she would have zero friends on Facebook. She was unfriended by everyone. No one was following her. Instagram, nothing. Nothing she posted, nobody read it. Have you ever felt like that? No followers, no WhatsApp. They took it out, they took you out from the group. She's walking alone. And you know what community is doing with all that? They are rejoicing to see you suffer. That's what community does sometimes. It is Martin Luther King Jr. who said, the 11th hour on Sunday is the most segregated hour. Can you imagine? We are supposed to be creating community. But that's the most segregated hour of worship. Community. People who were created in the image of God. We are the ones who are making others walk alone. Yeah. Let me share a little bit here about myself. You know, the most vicious racism that I'm afraid of, like this ethnicity that Jesus was talking about, it doesn't come from people who are non-believers. No. It comes from people who look like you and me, who proclaim the Christ, the risen Lord. Yeah. That's where my pain comes from. The pain comes from the fact that you know what the Bible says. You know what God says. You know what Genesis says. But you still continue to do what you do. Community bullies. The most venomous people, sometimes in some communities, are Christians who proclaim the risen Lord. They're the most venomous ones. And sometimes it's not even the words that they say. It's just the looks. They give you a look, and you know what it means. You and I, we might have participated in that. Are there sometimes things that we need to apologize to others for things that we have done as part of community? Yeah. Are there hurtful words that we have said that have actually caused others even to choose to say, I'm going to end it all. Life is not worth living. My mom passed away in February. And let me give you a little background about my mother. My mother was born with her sight. And at around 62, 63, because of glaucoma, she became completely blind. And that was 1997, 98, somewhere there, she became completely blind. And as it was, my father became the eyes to my mother. And in 2003, my father passes. And my mother says, man, I know what it means when the Bible says, I wrestled, Jacob wrestled with the angels. I wrestled with God. To say, God, why did you leave me here? Why did you take somebody who could see and leave me here? I don't see. And long story short, she says that in that wrestling one night, I heard the word of the Lord say, Tracy was my mom's name. She's late now. She says, the Lord says, Tracy, Nicodemus was my father. Nicodemus had his own time in this world. You got your own time. When it's time, you will come. And she says, well, I started thinking all that. There's more to it, but she said, I started thinking all about that. And then I started just praising God for not being able to see. I said, Mom, what do you mean? We were talking. She says, yeah. Do you know that it's a blessing not to see? I said, no, no. I thought you would love to see. She says, no. It's a blessing not to see. I said, what do you mean, Mama? She says, it's a blessing not to see. Because when I walk in the community and when I see others, I do not judge people by what I see. I don't see black. I don't see white. I don't see fat. I don't see ugly. You all, she says, you are all going to be judged when you get up there. To say you saw somebody, you looked from toe to head and say, this one. She says, I do not have that luxury anymore. I see with my spiritual eyes, she says. We have done that. We have judged others as community. And what community does, you know what it creates? Cycles of internalized pain. It creates cycles of internalized pain. There's a book, one of my favorite books that I like so much. I'm glad Esther is here. by Ashish Nandi. And the parents are here too. Ashish Nandi is from India, and he wrote a book called Intimate Enemy. And Intimate Enemy, he says in that book, he's talking about colonization and what it does to people and all that. And I wanted to use that analogy to say, do you know that what we do to people, what they take into themselves, it causes so much pain in them that times they start hating themselves, and it creates what we call an intimate enemy. And an intimate enemy is a thing that you know in yourself that you know you don't need, but you can't live without it. Because now everybody treats you that way. Maybe you were bullied. Maybe this woman that we are talking about here, community, the husbands were abusing her. Maybe the pain that you see, that you have experienced, that you have internalized into yourself, that has become the basis of what you see about yourself. That has become your identity. And you are dying from inside, not because you chose it, but because somebody did it to you. Jesus is at the well today and saying, I can handle that. I can take that. I took that for you on the cross, and I can still do it today. Do you feel sometimes like some of us here? If you were to be to tell the stories that were told about you as a child, probably some of you were told, oops, you were an oops baby. You were a mistake, and you live your life as a mistake. Everything you live about yourself is oops. My son, sorry, I'm seeing the time there. You gave an African to preach. Not only that, the other thing is that I have 20 years that I haven't preached, so I'm making up for it. I'm making up for it. My son is a firefighter. He's an EMT. And my son says to me, Dad, when we get to a car accident, when we see broken bones, he says, that doesn't startle us. We can take care of that. And we can make the person comfortable and not to break more bones. He says, what we fear the most is internal injuries. Because the person is looking so good, but they are walking alone. The person is looking so good, but they are drowning in their own blood internally. Internalized pain. That's what it does. Some of us, I'm hurrying up now. We have walked alone because of community. We have walked alone because of internalized pain. But some of us, it might be we are walking alone because of our own choices. Yeah. The choices that we make in life. I look at this woman here, probably she was looking for love in the wrong places with the wrong people. What have you tried to fill that void in you? Have you tried sex? Have you tried drugs? Have you tried pornography? What is it that you have tried to fill in that void that is there? What choices are you making in your life, in my life? What is it? We are trying. Some of us, it's a rebound. One marriage after the other. She had rebound problems. Five husbands, those are if you take counseling. Five rebounds, five marriages. From this relationship to that, this relationship to this. What is it? It's the choices that we are making. Sometimes you have tried everything. You have even tried wealth and money and so forth, and it hasn't made it. Some, if I were to kind of like, some we have even tried plastic surgery, but it doesn't change the pain that is on the inside. I'm going to end with good news. I got to skip some of this time. I'm going to end with good news. The good news is this. Jesus is at the well, as you were imagining, with you right now. Not only that, I want to remind you that you are special. You are a holy seed. You went through God's hands. When God created me, he didn't say, oh, I got some leftovers from Tapio. Now I'm going to, I saw my brother Tony here. Now I'm going to create Tony Headley from Tapio's leftovers. No. You are so special, so unique, nobody can clone you. You are that special. God loves you the way you are. You don't have to do anything other than just accept the grace that is being offered to you. You've been told you are a piece of work. No, go tell them, I'm a masterpiece from God's hands. I am a masterpiece from God's hands. And there's something that I know. My God has a plan for me, as it says in Jeremiah. Yeah. This woman here, can you imagine her going back into the community with this voice that she's been given and going back to the five husbands and say, I forgive you. Yeah. Going to those in the community that those who had hurt her and say, I forgive you. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe today you need to send a text to somebody and say, I forgive you. Maybe I may also need to send a text to somebody to say, I'm sorry for what I did. Yeah. I don't want you to walk alone anymore. Do you know that if you feel like you've been healed, do you realize that your healed pain can break somebody else's chains? The woman's healed pain was what propelled her to go into the community to go preach the gospel and say, there is a God who lives, and I've met him. Can you go today and say, I no longer identify or define myself by my failures, by my sin, by my choices, by my pain, but I define myself by the grace and the righteousness of the image of God who lives in me. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.